Chicago is.
The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is coming to Chicago for its one and only 2019 conference. You can meet and hear Ross Douthat, Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith, Aaron Wolf, Hans Feeney, and Will Whedon Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Chicago is.
To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in the mother's womb.
Do you see how uncomfortable that would make people in the press to have to cover Feminist for Life? There's the gender issue, but now the weapon of gender and feminism is being used by people on the wrong side of the issue.
The picture of the shepherd leading the sheep, right? I mean, that's not at all the sheep saying, look what I'm doing, I'm following my man. It's like, you know, hey, it's the guy that gets us the protection. He's the guy that gives us all of our nourishment. He's the guy that we need to be with to be safe.
UC Berkeley alumni who still support the freedom of speech love Issues Etc. Fiat Lux and Go Bears.
It was not that long ago. It was only 15 years ago this month. In fact, 6 p.m. February 4th, 2004, when a sophomore, think about this, a college sophomore at Harvard University, Mark Zuckerberg, launched what was called at the time the Facebook. And then it took over Harvard and it took over the rest of the Ivy League schools and then expanded to other universities. And then pretty soon you didn't have to be a college student to be a member of what then became Facebook. Then it took over the world with 2 billion users. And it is now drawn such attention, such power, such influence, and such ability to barter with the very details of our lives that people wonder whether or not this is some sort of plot to take over the world. And yet we use it. We find it not only necessary, but inescapable in our everyday lives. And if it isn't Facebook, it's Twitter or some other social media. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 12th of February. We're going to be talking about Reformation insights into social media and technology. Pastor Trevor Sutton will join us a little bit later. We'll spend some time with you, our listeners, going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The comment line, 618-223-8382, and our Twitter address, @IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about the perils of social media and perhaps some Reformation insights into that technology and other technologies, Pastor Trevor Sutton. He's a PhD student at Concordia Seminary. He's author of recent columns titled Mr. Zuckerberg, Meet Martin Luther, and Inclined to Both Social Media and Self-Justification. Also the book Clearly Christian. Pastor Sutton, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Reportedly, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is a practicing Buddhist. Do you think that this shows in the goals that he has set for his social media platform?
Perhaps. You know, it's possible that his Buddhism does have an influence on the goals that he set for the platform. You know, Buddhism deals a lot with the self and a focus on self-improvement, self-betterment. And in this regard, you know, Facebook and Buddhism really seem kind of similar, that they really are both focused on the self and coming up with this curated best version of yourself. But I'd say the greater influence in my mind would have to be profit and power and mammon, that it appears to me that the goals of Facebook and really many other Silicon Valley companies is how can we become as big as possible, as quickly as possible, and come up with the greatest profit possible.
The unofficial motto of Facebook is move fast and break things. What does that appear to mean to Zuckerberg and other social media moguls who are following his example?
Move fast and break things. That was an early mantra of Facebook, and they held on to it for many years, only recently distancing themselves from that idea. But the idea of moving fast and breaking things, it riffs on the concept of disruptive technology. And what disruptive technology is creating technology that disrupts the status quo. So technology that disrupts existing forms of technology, or coming up with technology that disrupts existing ways of living and coming up with new ways of living, coming up with technology that can create new markets, new opportunities for profit. And, you know, in and of itself, disrupting the status quo is not a problem, particularly if the status quo is broken or needs, you know, rectifying in some way. But I think the idea of moving fast and breaking things, sort of doing this unreflectively, without caution, without patience, and moving deliberately and slowly to just willy-nilly break things, that can leave a wake of unintended chaos and destruction and many of the things that we're seeing as a result of social media.
So how is that approach to technology in general manifested itself on Facebook, both the platform itself and on us who use it?
So an example of that, early in Facebook, what they would do is they would have these hackathons. And these hackathons where they would have 60, 70 programmers come in, and they would do, just like you did in college, they would do an all-night hackathon. And what they would do is they would try to break existing features on the Facebook platform, or they would take existing features and they would remix them and remake them. And then other people would cannibalize those ideas and try to break them and fix them and remake them and all these different things. And the result of these all-night hackathons was to, you know, eventually find their way into the user interface. But the whole thing was built on speed, sort of coming up with new ideas as quickly as possible and bringing them to market as quickly as possible. And we can see this sort of in the way that users have adopted Facebook as well. People have adopted this with extreme speed. You know, we've signed up, we've signed on, and we've shared all of our information, our whole lives publicly. And I'd say we've done this somewhat unreflectively and a bit too hastily.
What was the 16th century reformer Martin Luther's, you call it a theology of tools?
Martin Luther, as many folks know, a very prolific theologian, a very prolific writer, and he wrote on all different kinds of topics. But one topic in particular that he wrote on multiple occasions was tools or technology. And he always wrote about tools and technology in such a way that they were centered on the benefit of other people. How can your tools, how can the technology that you make or that you utilize, how can it benefit your neighbors? So for instance, Luther, he wrote this about tools. He said, look at your tools, at your needle or thimble, your beer barrel, your goods, your scales, your yardstick or measure. All of this is continually crying out to you, friend, use me in your relations with your neighbors, just as you would want your neighbor to use his property and his relations with you. You know, so for Luther, the point of technology, the way that these things are used well, is when they're used in a Christ-like way in service to other people.
How does Luther's view of technology, at that time of burgeoning technology for him, offer a corrective even to a view like 21st century Mark Zuckerberg's view of technology?
So certainly there's a great expanse between Luther and Zuckerberg in many different regards, not just chronologically, but coming from really, really different worlds and worldviews and perspectives. So to put these two in conversation with one another, I realize, you know, it could be a hard task, but I do think Luther has something very valuable to offer the conversation in that he shifts the focus. For Luther, the focus of tools and technology is not personal or corporate gain. The goal or the focus is not rapid growth or moving fast and breaking things. For Luther, the focus of technology was always on the benefit and the well-being of neighbors. And again, I realize it's sort of an unlikely thing to think that social media companies will consider Luther's understanding of technology. But I do think in this time of sort of crisis for Silicon Valley, they would do well to consider Luther and how he understood technology and tools.
On a related subject, you have observed that social media has magnified our natural tendency towards self-justification in us. What do you mean by that?
Social media, you know, sometimes because we use it so much and it's all around us, we don't always look at it critically or cautiously or reflectively. We're just so used to it, we're kind of blind to it. But if you think about it, this platform or these platforms that we use, they are very visible ways to show other people how good we are and to show how likable we are. I mean, the mere fact that we call them platforms sort of suggests that we're being elevated up on a platform for other people to see. So let me give you an example. You know, the like button on Facebook or on Twitter, that's a quantifiable way for other people to express their like for you. And it's not just that they express their like for you, but there's actually a number attached to that to show the whole world exactly how likable you are. And that fuels into this self-justification that we have as sinful, broken people, trying to prove to ourselves and to God and to the world that we are likable, good people.
Talk about the reformers' concern with the vertical dimension of self-justification. That was their primary concern. Why did they focus on that?
So the reformers, and particularly Luther, they made a big point about vertical justification, this vertical dimension, because it had become really confused and really unclear. So they wanted to separate these two and make a distinction between vertical righteousness and horizontal righteousness. Another way of understanding that is our standing before God and our standing before the world and our neighbors. And like I said, Luther and these other reformers wanted to clarify this because through the Middle Ages, it had become blurred and confused, so that a lot of people were functioning with the idea that if you are likable on a horizontal plane, if you are good to your neighbors and help old ladies cross the street, that then wins you points before God, and God is likes you more, and God loves you more, and God is more willing to save you. And Luther, on the basis of Scripture, saw this as deeply confused and problematic. So Luther focused on this vertical dimension to make it absolutely clear, again from Scripture, that we're dead in our sin, and we cannot possibly do something that's good before God, that we can't do anything to improve that standing. And so that's where Luther picks up on this biblical passive righteousness, that's Christ's righteousness gifted to us through faith, not because we're good people, but because of God's mercy and love for us in Jesus.
Pastor Trevor Sutton is our guest. We're getting some Reformation insights into social media. He has written recently articles, Mr. Zuckerberg, Meet Martin Luther, and Inclined to Boast, Social Media and Self-Justification. When we come back, we'll talk about fearing the judgment of men more than the judgment of God. Are you looking for a new devotional resource in 2019? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Day by Day in Genesis, 365 Devotional Readings by Martin Luther.
Give your spouse the gift of time for Valentine's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Call toll-free 1-866-827-0062 or visit thecleaningauthority.com. Forget the flowers, candy, and jewelry this year with a Valentine's Day gift certificate from our favorite cleaning service, The Cleaning Authority, 866-827-0062 or thecleaningauthority.com.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday, February the 12th. We're talking with Pastor Trevor Sutton about Reformation insights into social media. Pastor Sutton, why do you say that both modern and postmodern people tend to fear the judgment of men more than the judgment of God?
Many people have been hearing the studies that have been coming out and the rise of people who claim to be none, and by none I mean no religious affiliation, and maybe they're spiritual but not religious, or maybe just atheistic entirely. But as there's this rise in atheism and without a belief in God, then there's no concern or no thought given to divine judgment. So then, culturally and societally, many people are only focused on the judgment that comes from other people. How does my community perceive me? How do my neighbors perceive me? How do people on social media perceive me? And so the idea of justification, many people function only with this horizontal dimension of what do other people think about me? And of course, that plays itself out on social media.
How does that show itself, as you say, in social media? Give us some examples of that.
So there have been plenty of studies that have come out in the last 5 or maybe even 10 years on how social media is impacting our well-being and psychology and so forth. And an example of that is correlations between anxiety and social media use or diminished well-being. And I think we shouldn't be all that surprised by these studies, because if you spend your time in this arena where you are being judged on how likable you are, how good you are, of course, we're all going to come up wanting. And imagine having that mirror of your deficiencies kind of put in front of you all the time. One study in particular, and one way this plays out on social media, is German researchers found this thing they call the envy self-promotion spiral. And what happens is people spend time on social media, and it makes them envious of the lives that other people are living and the wonderful food they're eating and how cute their kids are and all that. And this envy causes you to inflate your own image and to self-promote and make yourself seem bigger and more important and better than you are. And the reason they call it a spiral is that causes other people to envy your self-promotion, and it makes them do the same thing. So we all become more envious. We all engage in this self-promotion, and it's this chaotic cycle.
What is technological determinism?
Technological determinism, that explores, it's a scholarly concept, but it explores to what extent does technology influence our lives, and to what extent does technology influence our world. And you'll find scholars are all over the spectrum when it comes to technological determinism. Some scholars will say that technology is entirely neutral. It doesn't shape the world at all. It's just waiting for you or me to come and use it and shape it and act upon it. Other people would say, no, technology shapes our lives in really powerful ways, and it's not neutral, but in fact, it's powerful in what it does to us. And then there's other folks who are somewhat in the middle and say, well, these things incline us to behave and act and think in certain ways.
So where do you fall in that reading of technological determinism, and especially as it might facilitate self-justification?
So as my article, the title of it, Inclined to Boast, and I really think that that idea of inclining us is a helpful way of thinking about it, that really it's in the middle of that spectrum. You're not falling off the extremes either way, but seeing how our technology is inclining us, and we can resist that, and we can work against that in meaningful ways, but we also ought to be aware of that. And I'll give you some just examples of that. You know, for instance, I have a hard time when my phone dings because of an email. It inclines me to check it. And even if I'm spending time with my family or enjoying Sabbath rest or something like that, I still have this inclination to check it. And I'm sure my anxiousness levels go up a bit just wondering what that is and what do I need to do with that. Other ways, you know, scholars have begun to explore the way that social media leads us to what they call virtue signaling, and how we want to signal our virtue and how great we are publicly. And I think also another really practical way we can see this playing out is the fact that we all carry with us cameras and keyboards that are connected to the internet almost wherever we go. You go anywhere and something interesting happens and everyone pulls out their phones. And clearly having that technology is inclining you to act and behave and do things differently.
Why do pastors and theologians need to understand how social media works, what's going on in social media?
A very simple answer is 2 billion people are on Facebook. 2 billion people are on Facebook. And to me, that tells me that this technology is extremely ubiquitous. And just like looking at how, for instance, Luther and the Reformers had to confront the technology of Gutenberg's press and at least understand it and understand why are we going to use it or why are we not going to use it and how is this shaping our pastoral practice, I think pastors and theologians today have to at least have thoughtful, critical understandings of social media. And what I mean by that is not simply it's good or it's bad or I like it or I don't like it or something like that, but to really devote the time to understand this, how it's shaping people's lives, and then what does it look like to do pastoral care in an age where people spend a great portion of their day on these things.
You write, pastoral care in the digital age must help people to never forget the unmerited grace of God in Christ Jesus. What do you mean by that?
You know, grace is foreign. Grace is alien. Grace is a gift from God, and we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's not because we're lovable people. It's not because we're great. You know, Romans chapter 5 tells us that God shows his love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And social media is so different from that because social media says you are lovable if you're worthy of being loved. You are likable if you give us something that is worthy to be liked. And what I mean by that quote is that as people spend their time on these platforms, they're going to be inundated with this idea of I am worthy to be loved by God because I'm a good person and likable. And pastoral care in this context is going to help people to understand or have to help people understand that God's grace is alien and it is foreign and it is wonderful. And it's the greatest gift we could ever imagine. But keeping those things clear and separated and helping people understand the grace of God in Christ Jesus is going to be a unique and new challenge in a digital age.
Pastor Trevor Sutton is a PhD student at Concordia Seminary, author of recent columns titled Mr. Zuckerberg Meet Martin Luther and Inclined to Boast Social Media and Self-Justification, and the book Clearly Christian. You can find out more about Clearly Christian and read those articles at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Sutton, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, it's time to go through some listener email and some comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Stay tuned. What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During February, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Perry Lutheran Homes. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Tailor your educational experiences to meet your specific interests and goals in the Director of Christian Education Program at Concordia University Chicago. It's the perfect place to earn your DCE degree and prepare for your vocation in Christian education, youth ministry, family ministry, and more. Visit cuchicago.edu. to learn more about how Concordia Chicago's DCE program is both innovative and traditional.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Redeemer Lutheran, Chico, California. St. John's Lutheran, Hutchinson, Minnesota. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. And Trinity Lutheran, Arapahoe, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.